This is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and this morning I'm with Zani Byrne, and this is a story that a lot of people in Edinburgh will remember. Zani's sister Alice Byrne died in January 2022 from suicide, and now you're doing something in her memory. So tell us what you're doing. Tell us where you are, first of all, this morning.
So first of all, I'm in Dumfries. I'm on a rest day, doing some admin, repairing the bike, that kind of thing.
So you have to tell us why you're on a bike. Which bike are you on?
Yeah, so I'm cycling a tandem bicycle around the coast of Great Britain. Mm. I'm on day 60, I think, today. The whole trip is about 3,500 miles, and it takes 88 days in total. So I've not got that much longer. I've only got the whole coastline of Scotland to do.
And you started, of course, in Portobello and you went clockwise. So you've done a lot, actually. You've done a lot of mileage already.
Yeah, it feels that way.
And you're riding a tandem, but with nobody on the back.
No, not quite. So I'm joined by a different person who's been bereaved or affected by suicide each day. So these are people who are either from the communities that I'm passing through, or people have travelled from elsewhere in the UK to join me for that stretch of the coastline.
That's a very nice thing to do. And I know that you yourself have, you turned to an organisation called Survivors of Bereavement by Suicide, or SOBS. I always hate these monikers, but actually that one really works. It is what it says. And you've found a lot of comfort in that.
Yeah, I think it's a very special organisation. It's I'm not aware of anything else that offers quite the same service. You can walk into a group, you can listen to people who've all had the same experience as you, and you immediately feel that you're part of a community. Over time, you find that you're no longer the newest person there. And just by virtue of your experience, you're then able to offer a little bit of help, a little bit of support to other people who are coming in. And I think that part, the kind of helping others by offering consolation or just offering some support, really helps you recover yourself. And the community effects of the whole group are really very special.
What have you been chatting about? I mean, is it all your experiences, or do you just stick to the day to day, or what do you do? And did you know them before?
I knew about 30% of the people beforehand. They were friends or friends of friends, and about 70% of people are new to me, and they are, you know, from every different walk of life in the UK. I've had police officers, lawyers, engineers, mechanics, people that were in the forces. I've had a wide range of age ranges. So I think the oldest person will be in their 70s, the youngest in their 20s, and everything in between. We talk about, our experiences, because I think the bike and the tandem lends itself to talking about these kind of things. You know, not having eye contact, not reading the kind of facial cues or the body language of the person you're talking to, but doing something together for an extended period of time. And when you know you've got something in common with that person, it just makes the conversation a little bit different. You know, when you're like having a conversation driving next to somebody, sometimes that's the best conversation you've had in a long time. It's a similar kind of thing. So we talk about suicide, we talk about recovery, we talk about our families, we talk about what we could do. And we're also talking about the scenery we go through. We're talking about the day to day, about the big hill coming up, about what we're going to have for lunch, about going for a swim in the sea. So those kind of things.
Yeah, I guess it must be quite hard for you, actually, having somebody different on the back every day. And are you always on the front? That's maybe something else I've just presumed.
I am always on the front. There are a few kind of considerations there. One, you tend to want the heavier person on the front. But two, and maybe more importantly, you want the person who's more experienced with riding a tandem on the front. I'm yet to meet anyone so far who's more experienced. And the other thing is, lots of the people joining, they're not cyclists, they're just normal people. So I've had people who haven't cycled a bike in 30 years and they've jumped on the back.
That makes cyclists sound really odd. They're not normal people. Cyclists are normal people. I know what you mean, though, that these people are not usually cycling. That makes it even worse, surely, no, for you, from a safety and energy perspective.
No, I mean, not really, because the thing I get out of this is the connection with people. It's not about doing it quickly or doing it without getting tired. It's about, you know, talking to people, making the space to have a good conversation and to feel more connected. I think when you lose someone to suicide, it can be quite an isolating thing. And I think through the tandem and this kind of ride and this journey, it certainly made me feel less isolated. And I hope it is doing that for other people too.
That's good. So do you feel this is a bit of a personal journey for you? Do you feel that, I mean, if I asked you, do you feel better for it already? That's a very generic question, but is there anything you can think of that you think, yeah, actually this is helping? Or do you think it will take time for it all to sink in?
A bit of both, really. So I guess I do feel better for having done it. I've been, you know, every day for the past 60 days, I've had people cheering me on. When I stop in a cafe and say what I'm doing, people are buying me coffees and croissants and bacon rolls and things.
That's very nice.
And if you have nothing but positive interactions with people for 60 days, you tend to feel quite good. I would wish that on everybody. Yeah, it's also kind of testing the idea that, you know, grief can be like a great big black ball, and that doesn't get any smaller. It just stays the kind of same size. And the only way over time to make that feel a little bit smaller is to try and grow the rest of your life. And then proportionally, it feels a little bit smaller. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do. And so far, I can say it feels like it's working. I also think, like you said, it will take a little bit of time for everything to sink in. I have very little time to think about things. I'm always back on my spreadsheet doing the admin, contacting people.
That's right. Well, you are a bit of an experienced cyclist, because you were an Edinburgh rickshaw driver for a few years, so that and I'm presuming you must feel fitter for it after cycling such a long way already.
Yeah. I'm certainly feeling fitter for it, and that does make me feel a bit better. I'm getting all these leg muscles that I haven't had in about 10 years.
That's great. And what about your backup team? I know that I've been in touch with at least one of those.
These are friends and people who have just volunteered their time to help in any way they can. So I really feel like I've got, you know, almost the whole country behind me, because people are just offering help at every stop. I don't have anyone really following in a car or anything like that. Occasionally, the person's family who's riding with me that day will carry some of the bags. I'm just staying at people's houses who are willing to put me up, or camping. There's no camper van support or anything like that.
I was going to ask that where you were actually staying. That's superb, and it's a very nice thing to do. Also, I think for the other people who are cycling with you, who've also been affected by suicide, I think it must be helping them too. I'm hoping it does. I think we have to let you get some rest. And what do you do on your rest days?
Yeah, do all the admin and try and stretch and eat lots of food. That's kind of it.
Yeah. And how many miles are you actually doing every day then, if you're doing kind of 8 days? I can't do the math.
It's roughly 50-ish miles a day. It varies, though. The flat ones I tend to do are a bit longer, and the hilly days are a little bit shorter.
Are you sticking to roads all the time, or are you going on cycle paths where you can?
Yeah, it's a mixture. So cycle paths often, and sometimes all your only option is roads, really. I'm trying to stay close to the coast, but
yeah,
sometimes the coast road is a busy road, and I don't want to take someone who's not cycled in a long time on a busy road.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Well, the only thing I can tell you about your next stop after Dumfries is that in Cretown, The place that you really have to go and visit is the Cretan Gemrock Museum, and ask for Tim there, because he's a chum of mine. So I'm sure he'll welcome you in. But you are going to some lovely parts of the world now, up on the west coast, and I know some of that will be a bit hilly, but hopefully you're up to it. Now, you're coming back to Edinburgh on the 23rd of August, I think that's your plan.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
And where is your finish line going to be? Is it going to be in Portobello?
Yeah, back in Portobello. I think the kind of bandstandy cake bit where I set off seems like the appropriate place to finish.
Okay. Somebody's going to put up a finish line for you, we have to hope then. We'll have to come along and see you finish going over the line. The other part of this ride is that you are raising funds for two charities, the one we've already mentioned, Survivors of Bereavement by Suicide, and Papyrus UK, which is Prevention of Young Suicide. Where are you up to on your Just Giving page now?
Yeah, we're just over £25,000 at the moment, so it feels like we're doing quite well.
Actually, I'm having a look. You're over 26,000, you know. You've underestimated. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a tremendous amount of money, really is. Thank you for speaking with us, and good luck with the rest of your tandem cycle.
Thanks very much.